Join the Pomp and Joe Show. That's us on a Football Friday, a Donnie Football Friday, this Friday, December 12th, live at the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. And we ask that you please bring some non-perishable items to be donated to the Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank and say hello to us. I will be there producing on site. Starkey will be there. Donnie will be there at the Baseball Card Castle. We love going there. Say hello to the General. Jeff Patton setting everything up for us. But if you can't make it, you can still support by going to the Pittsburgh Food Bank website, pittsburghfoodbank.org/need, or you could text NEED, text need, NEED to 50155. Details at 937thefam.com. We've also opened up the link that we had for the charitable event that we did earlier this year for the Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank when we were feeding the need. Mike Tomlin on the hot seat, maybe not nearly as much. At least that's what Aaron Rodgers hopes this week.
What does it mean to get a win like this after the week that you guys have had and the week that kind of Mike Tomlin has had?
Means maybe you guys will shut the hell up for a week.
Maybe a little bit. Easier said than done, Aaron, as narratives will continue to carry on, and the truth and just the reality of where the Steelers are will carry on, where they're 7-6, and then many other divisions. If they were in the AFC East, they would not be in a playoff spot right now. If they were in the AFC South, they would still be trailing the Colts, and they'd be right neck and neck with Jacksonville, and there's Houston also in the rearview mirror as they continue to climb. If they were in the West, Denver, the Chargers, who has already beaten them, Kansas City might actually be dead now and not make the playoffs. But the Steelers are benefiting from being in the AFC North in a division where Joe Burrow didn't play half the year. The Browns are a dumpster fire. Lamar Jackson's been banged up for Baltimore, missed a couple of games, and their defense for large portions of the year has just not been good. So how did Tomlin address potentially being in the hot seat?
Like, one of those bullets was at the Bills game, fans calling for your job. Did you feel like you were in the hot seat at all last week?
Man, I've been in the hot seat for 19 years.
I don't think anybody actually thinks that's true.
Did you feel like you had something to prove to the fans at all?
I always feel like I got something to prove. Not necessarily to anyone in particular, but that's just the spirit in which I go about what I do professionally.
And I think it's a very fair way that Tomlin answered the question, because just think about if the Steelers would have lost that game to Baltimore. And for a large portion of it, really until the fourth quarter, they pushed Baltimore around. Like, it wasn't what we saw last year. Up front, obviously, the Steelers did get pushed around, yes. I mean, they gave up 200 yards rushing to the Ravens. But they didn't allow Lamar Jackson really to be able to create. Sure, that might have been because of the injury. But Lamar was not effective downfield. The secondary played well. They contained him. Alex Highsmith, game-winning sack. And I thought the offense moved the ball pretty well, where Baltimore just might end up firing that defensive coordinator. Remember, Dean Pease came in last year and helped out that defense with Orr, the coordinator, and basically not being able to put the pieces together and figure it out. Seems like he is definitely in maybe a similar Matt Canada situation. Maybe not as much noise surrounding him. At least nationally, there's not. But the Baltimore eventually is going to have to make a change there. If the Steelers would have lost that game to Baltimore, Monday night probably would have been ugly. They consistently get about 64, 65, 66,000 at games. Could there have been 55, 56? A lot more empty seats than you would expect? Tomlin expects them to be there Monday.
What do you expect from the fans Monday night?
Man, I expect them to show up, man. It's Monday Night Football in Acushnet. It's going to be a big game.
And I really don't have a problem with fans booing or chanting fire Tomlin. It can sometimes get to be a little bit excessive, but there are ways for fans to be able to state their opinion, and I fully understand that and fully get it. So the narrative, the noise, it's definitely a lot quieter this week as we approach Miami. That's just the current position that the Steelers are in. Is this the direction that you want them to be in at 412-928-9370? So Tomlin has addressed it. And Tomlin has also addressed some of the other additions that they made to the team and also what the Dolphins' defense is like, and we'll get to that. But I'm really curious your thoughts on, and you can hit us up on the text line at 412-928-9370, the fan text line. It's brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm where they always say, there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Also, hit us up on Twitter. Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Tweet us at 937TheFan, and you can also tweet me at Austin R. Bechtold. You can watch the show on Twitter. Over 1,000 people, over 1,100 people are currently watching the show on the live stream that is currently stated, or is currently fixated on Bob Pompieni. The Bob mannequin is taking center stage right now as the main face behind the camera. So I'm fascinated by that. What do you make of the state of the Steelers right now? Ultimately, of the point of how Tomlin has addressed it and where the team continues to trend, basically mushy middle, still, they're going to go to the playoffs. I think we can kind of safe, maybe not safely say that, but it's as close to safe as I've been all year just because of what Baltimore still has ahead of them and what the Steelers have ahead of them in the division. It is right to write off Cincinnati. They're done. They're not going to make the playoffs. With 9 losses, I don't think 8-9 is going to win the division when the Steelers already have 7 wins. It's not going to happen. But with the Steelers playing against Miami, the Lions, tough game. At the Browns with Shedeur Sanders, I would expect them to win that. And then Baltimore again at home, which should be an advantage having to play the Ravens back in Pittsburgh, where I didn't think that they would win in Baltimore anyway. The Ravens have a lot of difficult tests. Obviously, the Steelers at the very end, they're on a 2-game losing streak now, and they have to play Cincinnati, who they lost to on Thanksgiving Day. A 1 o'clock game on the road. New England at home. The Patriots right now, one of the best teams in the AFC, have one of the best quarterbacks in the entire AFC. That's on Sunday Night Football. Just flexed. Then they're in Green Bay, having to play in Lambeau against the Packers, who are currently the number one seed. They beat their rival Bears. They're in the driver's seat to have the number one seed. And then the Steelers. So anyone that thinks, whether it's Vegas, that thinks that Baltimore should still be the favorite to win the division right now, I just think it's factually incorrect. But one thing that the Steelers did to try to improve offensively and defensively, trade away Minkah Fitzpatrick to the Dolphins for Jonnu Smith, who has basically been invisible for most of the year, and Jalen Ramsey, who I think has played pretty well in a safety role. What about Minkah, Mike? How has he fared?
I think they've been really solid in the secondary once they solidified some of their, you know, divisional labor. And I think Minkah has been significant in that regard. He's been playing nickel for them. And they've got more depth, certainly, at safety than they do at corner. And Minkah's versatility has been an asset to him. He's done an awesome job as a guy that plays closer to the line of scrimmage in the nickel position, a guy that blitzes. Certainly in base, he plays free safety and is a hub of communication and center fielder back there for him there.
And that's really something that they did not want to do with Minkah, play him close to the line of scrimmage. It was play him in center field, let him roam around, try to force turnovers there, which ultimately did not work, and basically be the center fielder in the last line of defense. They didn't play him unless it was really in the red zone where there wasn't much room for him to be able to play 30 yards off the ball. They didn't play him around the line. And because Miami has multiple safeties that they use and they're struggling in other areas, they're able to use Minkah closer to the line of scrimmage, and he's been able to thrive in that role. Find it kind of fascinating that Tom was noticing that, but never tried it himself. And he spoke about how well the Dolphins' defense has played on the 4-game winning streak.
If you look at these guys statistically over the last 5 weeks, man, they're tops in football. I think they're giving up 13.2 points per game over that span. Third down conversion rate is like at 31%. They've got 9 turnovers. I think that's second in football. And so some of the very critical statistics that measure how you're playing, they're checking those boxes, and that's why they've been the winners of 4 straight. When you keep the point total down, you take the ball away, you're good on third down. I think they're 22% TD rate in the red zone, and so they're stingy in that area as well. They're doing all the things you need to do to play really good defense. I love their linebacker tandem. Both highly productive instinct football players, volume tacklers. You better get hats on those guys if you want to make plays, not only in the running game, but just in the perimeter game, etc.
Tomlin really does have the ability to make a 6-7 Dolphins team that sure has won four games in a row, but doesn't play well in cold weather. Sure, they just beat the Jets, but not necessarily going to be a warm day next Monday night in Pittsburgh. Yeah, 21 degrees for Monday night's game. By the time we reach kickoff, it will be right around 18. 23 degrees is the high. So we know what it's like for Miami when they're playing in freezing temperatures. Will that ultimately matter for the Steelers? I think it will. Steelers are favored by 3.5 in Monday night's game. Finds a way to make the Miami defense sound like the 85 Bears. They are 20th in the NFL defensively in total yards and tied for 15th in points, tied for 16th in third down defense. They have been better defensively on third down in the last 4 weeks or so, and just giving up a 22% touchdown rate in the red zone. But the Steelers showed some things against a beaten-up Baltimore defense where that is very familiar with the Steelers, obviously, that I think that they should be able to have some success against Miami. And the fact that some of the emotion and feeling, which is real, you're not dealing with robots when you're dealing with what the Steelers are, I think it could be fascinating on Monday if they can grow the lead and ultimately end up expanding it to a point where Baltimore just really has no chance to be able to catch up. 412-928-9370. Let's hear from you coming up next. Also, this Philip Rivers story is fascinating. Is he really going to come back and play for the Colts? He's signing to the practice squad. Is he going to be activated? One insider says that he could play sooner rather than later. That's next. Also, one-star baseball free agent decides to sign in Pennsylvania, but stays on the opposite side of the state. What is the state of the Pirates right now, and is there a first baseman that is drawing interest from the Pirates from the NL East that could ultimately be a key answer in the lineup? 412-928-9370. Your thoughts on the matter. Austin Bechtold with you. In for Joe with his early dismissal on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. We have a wonderful treat.
All right, Austin. It's wonderful to be here.
The show has been sabotaged and taken over by Malzy in studio.
Yep.
Malzy, would you like to yawn in that chair? Yeah, it was close. It's kind of like a...
Yeah, that's what he used to do. This is what here, I'll do it one more time before I lose all of your listeners. He would go like this. He would go... And then he would act like nothing happened to me. And I would sit there. Do you know the amount of emotional damage, the amount of psychic scarring that occurred to me in a five-year period working alongside that man?
How much do you think has come down on me in a two-year span?
I think... Do you find yourself singing stuff that he sings during the day when he's not around?
Occasionally, yes.
Like, I used to sing his little, I'm a horticulture expert, I'm a horticulture guy.
Yeah,
like,
thankfully I don't do that.
You start singing that, man, you know that you're in deep with him.
Yeah, thankfully that is not one that comes to mind. It's typically church hymns that he changes the lyrics to that involve your name half the time.
Yeah, that also is weird. He's really made a career off of working Malzy into any situation imaginable.
Is that endearing? Do you take that as a compliment?
I like it. I mean, I would hope people know by now that Joe and I are friends. Joe and I get along. Joe and I, when we work together, would occasionally be at each other's throats. But I had a special talent for really ticking him off on the air to the point where he was like ready to strangle me, but managing to stay friendly with him when the mics went off. So
50-minute mark on the Fan is brought to you by South Hills, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. Malzy, What's Cooking is brought to you by your local Geico rep, Tim Hester.
Thank you, Mr. Hester.
Very kindly.
Woo!
And what's cooking right now, Malzy? Other than the Tomlin presser, which we'll continue to get into, Philip Rivers signing to the practice squad of the Indianapolis Colts at 44. Mm-hmm. He's a semifinalist for the Pro Football Hall of Fame, for gosh sake.
Mm-hmm.
One, do you think Rivers will actually see action in a game? And two, it makes me wonder, could Ben come off the couch tomorrow and sign with a team and be able to play?
Yes, I think Rivers will see action. He probably wanted to get signed because he's got like 13 kids, so he probably needs the money. I mean, he's made a lot in his career, but You know, tuition isn't getting any cheaper. I do think he'll play. I thought Riley Leonard, I actually watched a little bit of that game after Jones blew out his Achilles. I thought Riley Leonard was, like, not horrible, but obviously he's not going to win you a game like that. To me, Rivers is the kind – I would actually rather have a statue basically back there than a guy that – like, remember late career Vic would come off the bench and play. And Vic was still a guy who wanted to make it happen with his athletic ability, and occasionally he could, but – when that's like a main part of your game when you're great in your prime, I don't think that ages very well.
Yeah, when he won that game in the soccer stadium.
Right, like that's a good example, and he made a huge run so to help seal that game. I think a guy like Rivers, who I think his probably best 40 time was like 5.2 at some point.
That
like
might be kind.
There are absolutely people in this building faster than Phillip Rivers. Like not just Doran, I mean. Like I think Crowley with a strong tailwind could run a lot faster than Phillip Rivers.
Could you on a bad knee do it?
Yeah, I think I could. Like, my knee is better now. When I first ran that one that made everybody make fun of me because Pony looked like an ostrich that was, like, constipated, and he was somehow, like, allegedly faster than me.
What is he, the Lemu Emu character?
He was, if you've ever seen the video, we were at Kenny Pickett's Pro Day, so this is several years ago, at Pitt's facility, and he and I just goofed around and tried to run 40s, not against each other directly. We each ran it individually, and it was a hand timing issue. And people... comments like, Mulzy, you obviously are faster. You look like you've actually run before. Pony was like high stepping and high kneeing. It was very weird.
Yeah, I do remember that.
They claimed that I ran like a 5.9. There's no way. And I also was like a month away from tearing my meniscus. So this version of me, you let me limber up here, I think I could beat Rivers in a 40.
What? So do you think that Ben, what would Ben do if he came back for one game? And let's say it's hypothetically against Cleveland.
I think there's a good question about Ben, because I think Rivers had to be more of a technician, and actually from day one I think Rivers had to probably like know the offense better. Ben got by on just he was a great athlete, you know, kind of Josh Allen before Josh Allen existed in the NFL. Maybe not like the pure runner, but hard to bring down, big rangy guy, bigger than the linebackers trying to tackle him.
Like, what kind of shape is Ben even in right now?
I think Ben actually I've laughed about like was he ever going to be one of those guys who ballooned up. He looks like he's not. I mean, I actually he randomly crossed paths with me. Obviously, there was no Christmas cards or hellos exchanged, but I was at Laurel Valley for the 10 Memorial Golf Tournaments Junior event that they did. It was their inaugural event this past summer. And Ben's son is a very good golfer. His son, who's like right around teenage years, I think he's like 13. And so he plays in a lot of the big junior stuff around town. And Ben was there as a golf dad. And he looked, you know, he looked like he always looks. I bet you if I had to guess a weight on him, because he's every bit of 6'5 and a half, he's a tall guy, so you got to go higher. I guess like in the 260, 270 range, probably on the lower end of that. But to your point, though, you asked me if he could actually do it. My main question would be, at the end of his career, we know he like got way better as a technician and as a guy who was reading defenses.
He was a point guard.
Yeah, well, I'm saying like knowledge of scheme, knowledge of what other teams are going to try to do to stop you, etc.
Yeah, kind of like Rodgers at this point.
Sure. Can he pick up somebody's offense? Like, or can you tailor an offense quickly to say, Ben, what concept do you remember liking, especially late in your career? What do you feel good about throwing right now? And what do you feel good about doing? I think in like a pinch, is he going to be better than, say, Brady Cook, who the Jets had to put in when Taylor went down? Yeah, I think he probably would be.
Well, and hasn't Rivers, doesn't he have a connection with Steichen as well, going back to the Chargers days?
I believe so. Steichen was still with the Eagles when Rivers played his last actual year. But yeah, I believe Shane Steichen and he have shared history.
So there should be some verbiage there that he should be able to pick up on easier where...
Yeah, he was the Chargers OC in 2019 when old Philly was still there.
Yeah, so like if Bruce Arians
they speak
was
the
still
same
around,
language,
or if Matt Canada was any good and went to a different job, maybe that would, or Coach Randy.
It'd be Fichtner. But yeah. No, I think, no, not Canada. Ben would intentionally sabotage Canada, I think, at this point.
If Coach the Vikings right now, I could see it.
If BA was coaching somewhere, like if Bruce Arians was the OC or the head coach of a team and was like, I need a quarterback, and he called Ben, I think Ben would pick up the phone and there would be a very serious discussion.
How do you feel about Tomlin's comments about Minka and what he said ultimately about how he's being deployed?
I think they've been really solid in the secondary once they solidified some of their, you know, divisional labor. I think Minka has been significant in that regard. He's been playing nickel for them. And they've got more depth, certainly, at safety than they do at corner. And Minka's versatility has been an asset to him. He's done an awesome job as a as a guy that plays closer to the line of scrimmage in the nickel position, a guy that blitzes. Certainly in base, he plays free safety and is a hub of communication and center fielder back there for him there.
So I find it ironic that Tomlin mentions that and how he's playing around the scrimmage, around the line of scrimmage and playing near the box in the versatility component. Things that the Steelers never let Minka do over the last couple of years before trading him.
Well, the one thing that you have to remember about his time in Miami is that he actually claimed that he hated being moved around a lot as a chess piece. He liked to be, give me one role and let me do that role. So I do think Minka's kind of an inconsistent or in literary terms, an unreliable narrator here with some of this. They seem like they have him as, what did Tomlin say, free safety and base and a nickel corner otherwise.
Right.
I think honestly Mike respects him. But I think also Mike's answer there sort of just generally indicated that things with Minka had run their course here pretty obviously. I think in that the question, I think it was Brooke who asked it about his leadership too.
Right.
And Tomlin, I thought, gave away the game a little bit there when he said, we have a lot of good leaders. We don't have a leadership deficiency here, because I think the Minka leadership had curdled a little bit by the end. Because I think he was like, there's two kinds of hard ass that you can be. You can be the guy that like really gets people to rally to your side because you're such a blood and guts type of player, but you can also be the kind of guy that I think like kind of puts off some of your teammates if you're acting a certain, like almost standoffish. And I think Minka by the end turned into that guy.
Well, and he even mentioned communication too and what he's doing with Miami. And communication seemed to be a problem where, especially in that Chiefs game, there were multiple instances, whether it was Queen, whether it was Elliott, just putting their hands up and looking towards Minka as to what happened. Miscommunication issues all around.
I've got to chime in on something. Yes. I fired up the YouTube comments, and Pony's going to roast me for this. I told him he could. I had a dad moment here. I am wearing the exact same hoodie that I was wearing yesterday to work.
Mm.
Basically, the hat, the hoodie, the whole deal. Different pants, thank God, and different underwear. But I threw back on the hoodie today after a shower, and now I realized to my horror when I came in that I was wearing the exact same thing. And people are just going to... They're going to try to hit me with those Callis charges here. Like when Callis stunk up the place because he did not have a chance to go home and shower, and he the prod studio was a bit messy.
So you didn't wash the hoodie at all then? You just put it right back on after you put it on the bed or
listen,
in your closet?
But listen, you hang the thing up. It's not like I came in here and ran sprints
right.
in this thing. So why should it smell bad after one wear?
It shouldn't, and it probably doesn't. What an observant YouTube chat to be able to remember
that.
The
YouTube chat can't believe I'm on this early either. What would Starkey ask you? Do you like Cornish game hens?
I think he'd say right now. He was actually talking about you guys and your comments on Kyle Schwarber. Why would the PM team actually think that Kyle Schwarber would be a realistic topic for the Pirates? Because Joe thinks that it was just basically a talking point where it might be thrown out there by agents that the Pirates are trying to spend all this money. But if Ken Rosenthal's report is correct, mm-hmm. 4 years and 120, and Schwarber ultimately signed for 5 and 150.
Mm-hmm.
Are we realistically saying that if the Pirates went an additional year, that Schwarber would have done that?
They would have had to offer him like $5 million more per year over the life of probably a 5-year deal, so it would have looked like 5 and 155 because there's absolutely a Pirates tax. Philly, we laugh about Philly. Obviously, we make fun of the Flyers, and we should. Their fans are completely insane. It's an unbelievable sports town if they like you.
No doubt.
As an athlete, like if Philly fans decide that you're one of them, that is one of the greatest places to play in the world.
He's beloved.
Because they'll basically bring the knives out literally and figuratively to defend you. And he's like their, I think he's probably the most popular guy on that team at this point, more so than even Harper.
Yeah, I would agree with that, and we've seen how they are trying to run Castellanos out of town, the verbiage
that
is
being...
He
sucks now, by the way.
Yeah.
That's kind of the problem.
And how about Jalen Hurts last night, too?
He also sucks right now. I think we can officially... He's a weird case, isn't he? Because he's played in 2 Super Bowls and easily could be 2-0, and in both of them, he either played Mahomes to a draw or in the second one, outplayed him badly. And that would give you credence to the idea. That would lend credence to the idea that he's like a really top end dude. He ain't.
Well, he could have been the MVP in both.
He's not the best. He's not like a force multiplier quarterback at all.
No, he's not a top 10. Where is he? Do you think 10 to 15?
All right,
range?
Here, quickly, because we got a minute left. Let's play my favorite game. All right. Is he better than Drake May?
No.
Is he better than Josh Allen?
No.
Is he better than Tua?
Yes.
Is he better than anybody on the Jets? Yes.
Yes.
Is he better than Burrow? No.
No.
Is he better than Shadur? Yes.
Yes.
Is he better than Rodgers? Yes. Gun to my head.
Yeah,
yes.
He is.
But it's because of the running component.
He's not better than Lamar.
He's not better than Lamar. That's 4. Is he better than Herbert?
No.
Is he better than Mahomes?
No.
Is he better than Bo Nix? Tough.
No. Maybe. Barely, no.
Tough scene right now. Seven. Is he better than Trevor Lawrence?
I say no.
Okay. Is he better than Stroud?
I think yes.
Is he better than Cam Ward?
He's definitely better.
Cam Ward is putting good tape out there for a horrible football team. Skip the Colts. Who do we miss in the AFC? Anybody?
I think that's it.
Is he better than Stafford? No.
No.
Is he better than a healthy Jaden Daniels?
A healthy Jaden Daniels? No.
Is he better than Purdy?
That's 10. Yes.
Okay, he's better than Purdy. Is he better than Darnold right now?
No.
Okay, that's 11. Is he better than Jacoby Brissett? Sure. Yes. Is he better than Caleb?
No, not right now. No.
Is he better than Love? No. Love is awesome. Love's an MVP candidate. Is he better than Goff?
No.
I would say no. Is he better than Baker?
No.
Is he better than... Well, yes, he's better than McCarthy. So we've named 15 right now.
Yeah, and he's better than whoever Atlanta's throwing out there right now. Kirk Cousins or Penix.
He's better than Bryce Young.
He is.
But, like, we just named half the league. He's a middle-of-the-road quarterback on an unbelievable roster. If he was, like, Lamar Jackson healthy on that team, they would never lose. Anyway.
Thank you, Austin.
Thank you.
The Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. And Fan Weather is brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. It's a high of 34. AJ Burnett and a low of 13. Nick Menino. The PM team is next.